Hello and welcome to CodeBytes, sponsored by Search 5.0. I'm your host, Stephen Turkington, and on today's episode, we're very pleased to welcome Mark McNaughton. CodeBytes was formed to create an accessible pool of mentors, and still to this day, we see plenty of aspiring technologists without that go-to person in their career. Mark has led high-performing technology teams across companies such as Liberty IT and First Up, and is very well known in our local market and a passion for mentorship. I hope you enjoy this conversation. So, Mark, a very warm welcome to CodeBytes.
Yeah. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Really excited to have you on, Mark. This is actually my first episode in about 3 weeks after a break. So as usual, there was the anxiety over charged laptops, sockets, updates, and all sorts, but we got there in the end,
Yeah.
Mark. So Mark, listen, really looking forward to this here. I'm conscious there'll be people who know you, there'll be people who don't know you in the local market, but I'd love you to kick things off and take us on your journey, Mark, from day one, what that looked like to where you are today.
Okay, that good start. Day one, I guess the right place to start is I'm not a computer science or engineering grad. I'm a biomedical science grad, which is a bit unusual. Left Queen's all them years ago and decided that further studies in that field was not for me and went to kind of like a conversion course at that time and started out as a graduate software engineer in Nortel Networks out in Natech for all the Natech folks that are still out there, and I know there's a lot of them. Working out there doing, well, initially integration testing and then programming and embedded C, which was really interesting, hard but interesting. Sort of stayed there for a couple of years. That was in the very tough times, you know, around sort of, I suppose I've seen a couple of them. That was around 2000, so there was a lot of reductions and stuff, and I stayed there for 2 or 3 years, got some really good experience, and then moved over to Allstate as a software engineer, senior software engineer. Stayed there, started to sort of work up through the grades, moved over to, and then I moved to an English company actually who had a small Belfast office. So they were called Grassroots at the time. They've been purchased since then, but and there it was very much moving towards like software leadership roles. And that was a fascinating place to work because it was effectively a like a, say a design and build consultancy where our sales team went out, sold something to some one of our big customers, and big customers are like Barclays, BMW, Visa, you know, really, really big fish. And you get to go in and talk to those guys about what they want, what their needs were, what they wanted the solution to do. And then you had to go away and build it in half the time that you thought it should take. And so it was, I think the words these days is a fast-paced environment. I remember it as sort of chaotic and manic, but because there were so many
Thank
different things going on, there was a lot of stuff to learn. So I stayed at Grassroots for quite a while, actually. Before jumping over to Liberty IT in Belfast and moved into originally a project manager role, but then into a senior delivery lead role, managing both large engineering projects and large teams of people. So kind of fascinating to see how that works to move from like a small consultancy where you could be doing anything and different things week to week to a really big business where, you know, the view on resources and time is very different. There's a lot more, it felt a lot more padded at the start, even though there were pressures, you know, through that time. And then in 2021, I decided to put my experience to good use and jumped over to be director of engineering and site lead for First Up in Belfast. They were originally Dynamic Signal, people might know them as. And so I've spent up until recently there. I've just recently left First Up actually due to some restructuring they had. So as we speak, currently looking for new opportunities. A couple of really exciting ones in the mix. So hopefully I'll get something suitable arranged shortly.
Brilliant, Mark. No doubt you'll be snapped up. There's a real good mixed bag of experience there from network at Nortel, obviously Allstate early doors, and One thing I want to question, Mark, and it's something which I've discovered as a main trend with all of our local tech leaders, a lot of liberty and chaos. What is about liberty that kind of fosters or cultivates that the future leadership?
That's a really good question. I think the core of that is probably around scale. If you look, Stephen, we both know the disparity in sizes of engineering companies in Belfast. You've got companies with 10 people, and you've got companies with like 500 and more. I think what the bigger companies, so the Kainos, Liberty, City, those guys offer is because there's scale involved there, there's an opportunity to do a number of different things. And there's a much more open career ladder so that if you're inclined towards leadership, which I would have been, you've got more opportunities to do that because it's kind of growing all the time. And, there's good opportunity then to step into leadership and help do more.
Yeah, no, very good. Listen, it's a great environment, Mark, and it's good to see that the local market. So Mark, if you were to reflect back in your career, was there a defining moment for you? I'm sure there was many, but if so, what did that look like?
So I think from my perspective, I was I'll be honest here. I was an adequate software engineer. I was okay at it. I wasn't the best engineer I've ever worked for or worked with, but I found myself when I was in grassroots and working in that kind of environment where you have a lot of different things going on, I found myself gravitating more towards like leadership roles and communication and making sure that not only are we delivering the right things, but all of our messaging is on point. So I think the kind of inflection point came around then for me when I figured out that actually, yes, I could continue to be a software engineer and stick at that, but my skills were much more orientated around helping other people deliver work, making sure our customers understood what we were doing, all the communication and leadership roles around that. So I think the big change for me was figuring out what I was really good at and what I felt most comfortable in and making that a success.
And on that front, Mark, I think it's an important subject because I'm sure there's plenty of people perhaps who've been or currently in that situation and are maybe kind of staying where they are because of the comfort zone, perhaps. But I guess what did it take for you to kind of really make that switch from software engineering into that more kind of PM delivery type role?
I think I guess there's kind of two answers to that, Stephen. Number one, I was kind of probably more gravitating towards those types of opportunities myself. So, when working as part of the team, I would be the one talking to other ones outside of the team or making sure that we have things, boxed off that we can deliver appropriately. And then number two, it was just opportunity. When I was at grassroots, there was a great opportunity came up to start and lead one of their vertical markets. So I was head of technology for the digital marketing and loyalty side of the business before I left. And that opportunity gave me a sort of great insight into leading a team of like 15, 20 people it would have been probably at that time and delivering a range of projects. You may be working on three or four things at a time. So it's really just the sort of aptitudes or desire to do it and the opportunity to do it. I think it's easy to be keen and want to do it, but you do need a little bit of opportunity, or you do need someone to take a chance on you. You do need someone to kind of believe that you can, and like the stars aligned a little bit, and that opportunity certainly came my way.
Brilliant, brilliant, Mark. And you touched upon somebody taking a chance on you. And I want to move on to the power of mentorship, Mark, which is what CodeBytes is all about. What does mentorship mean for you, and how important is one for one's career?
I think it's critically important across a range of different stuff, Stephen. I would say, like when I was working in that English firm, I would have considered my mentor to be our sort of group CTO at that time. And he was the one who would always help and guide. And he was the one who gave, me the opportunity to say, okay, you're in a good position now. You can have a crack at that effectively. And then help to guide me and show me where I was going right, as well as, occasionally where I was going wrong. So that's a very, I would say, functional sort of line management oriented aspect of mentorship. That's important because it allows people to give day-to-day experience or day-to-day advice to people in their in their own organization effectively, or for someone to seek advice from their line manager, whatever way that works in there. But that's the sort of day-to-day functional aspect of it. I think there's a real power in mentorship as well, to be able to talk to someone regularly or irregularly, it works too, to someone external to your normal environment. And that can be someone within the same business that might be in a different market. They might be doing a different job. They could be doing anything. Or it could be someone in a completely different company that uses a sounding board. And I've done that a few times myself. You know, I've reached out to people I've worked with before when I wasn't sure what the right move was or what I thought sh I should be doing. They don't, those kind of conversations don't tend to be orientated around how do I deliver this project? It's more, am I making the right move from a career perspective? You know, you're someone I like, if I'm reaching out to a mentor at that time, it's obviously someone I respect and someone I can listen to and take their information on board. So yeah, I think there's a couple aspects to it. There's sort of day to day, making sure that you're getting the right advice you need and that a mentor is giving the right advice. But then there's huge value in that kind of outside the day to day mentoring as well, where someone where you have someone you can talk to about, you know, how you're approaching your career, are you making the right decisions? Even if there's workplace environment questions or concerns that you have, talk them through with someone to make sure that or figure out how to best tackle those. So there's real power in it, you know, and I'd always advocate for not only myself, but for everyone to have a network outside of their normal day-to-day working, you know, and that could be people like me, you know, I still talk to people who I've worked with in the past, or it could be, you know, just people in another team. It could be this someone doing the same role as you in another team, that just has a slightly different perspective, but definitely the power of network is there and you can get mentoring in any kind of fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a diverse network is so important to emphasize, Mark. And plus it completely eradicates any bias as well, I guess is another side of the coin. So I suppose this kind of moves us on nicely to the world of talent. You've been responsible for growing and hiring and building teams. I'm keen to learn, how do you identify good talent in today's market?
Yeah, that's another good question. I think there's, I've always had a couple of things I've held close to myself when it comes to sort of talent identification and hiring. I guess if you're looking for the right type of people, and the right type of people in that scenario means obviously I'm mostly hiring engineers, so I'll keep it to that. But you know, they need to have the right level of technical and engineering nous. They need to be able to do the job effectively. So and that's kind of that, along with a good level of communication skills, are the table stakes. Everyone needs to have them to be in with a shout. I think the things that I would say on top of that that are like differentiating factors for people, I would say like a natural curiosity and self-learning is a really strong aspect for someone to have. And the maybe the other one then as well would be a level of self-awareness, which sounds a bit weird. Admittedly, but I tend to find people, and I do include questions when I interview people to figure this out. I'm not going to tell people what the questions are because that would be cheating. But like self-awareness is a powerful tool because it not only can it allow someone to improve themselves and how they approach things, but it can help them understand, you know, how they fit into a team. It can also, if they understand how they think about themselves and how they fit into the team, they'll understand how the team works better. You know, there's a few aspects to that that mean it's an important factor. Intelligent, curious people who have a level of self-awareness. That's the basics for the core people, the core engine or core skills. The other aspect as well is I've always kind of shied away from trying to hunt unicorns to some degree. You know, it's easy for people hiring to say, I need software engineer who's between 30 to 30. No, that's about ages. I'll leave that one out. who has 5 years experience? Who has 5 years experience in React and .NET, and only that. You know, that's all we need. Yeah. And then you limit the number of people you can look at. So I think that what I've always tried to find is, like, we want to hire people with the right level of talent and the other qualities we mentioned, but much more rather than trying to find individual unicorns that fit, like, round peg to round peg. I've always found that it's much more advantageous to hire bright, talented people and use them to mold your engineering teams appropriately. So you might actually end up hiring someone much more junior because they were great, and then you have to move two people around in a team or teams to, just to make that work. So it's kind of trying to hire the right people, hire talented people, but be flexible when you do hire them that you need to move people around a little bit to make the best of them, and make
Yeah.
the best of them in your teams.
I think that's brilliant to hear, Mark. And first of all, I think everything starts off and kicks off with self-awareness. And then you can build everything else around that. But regards to that unicorn statement too, I mean, it's something which we encourage, within recruitment, where the likelihood of you finding somebody who's going to tick all the boxes and be 100%, it's quite rare, actually. So, but what you tend to find is if you find somebody perhaps at 70 or 80%, they're more kind of willing and the motivation's slightly different, in order what they can provide and give you. So it works in for both ends, Mark. And I'm keen to have a chat about retention, because obviously it's not an easy process going out to identify good talent and bring them on board. But once you have them on board, Mark, I mean, what do you feel kind of retains talent?
I think that's normally all about how you approach things from a cultural perspective. And I'm going to throw two bits of the culture around it. It's sort of workplace culture and how everyone gets on. So if you're in the office, great. If you're out of the office, just make sure that it's a positive, inclusive culture where people can be themselves, obviously. And then the second aspect is kind of engineering culture. Like, how are you approaching the work that you're doing? Is the work exciting, engaging? Does the work actually, is there a clear delineation or a clear line between the work that an engineer does and the impact that has on the company? And those kind of things tend to be hugely important for engagement. So if an engineer is making a change to a screen and they don't know why, then they're probably not going to be engaged. But if they're making a change to a screen because they know that it's going to improve their team's KPI and their business's performance overall, then they're going to care more about it and be more engaged. So I think from a retention perspective, it's much more orientated about making sure that not only are the people happy and engaged in their workplace, but they can see that they're making a difference. And they can see that they're an important part of the team, and that they're being challenged and engaged there, and that their input is what's driving the company forward.
Absolutely, Mark. It's working with purpose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Daniel Pink thing again, isn't it? Keeps coming back.
No, absolutely. Mark, I'm keen to learn, what do you see as a current challenge in the industry?
Going to say AI, but I am going to say AI, but I'm going to kind of color it a little bit about how our universities are dealing with that, because, like, over the past, like, as we all know, over the past 12 months, everything's changed, and the next 12 months it'll change again and again. So I think the biggest challenge that we're going to see is how can we allow our educational sector, our universities, to keep up with that change so that they're providing graduates that are right skilled to be able to integrate into a changing software engineering world. I don't think I'm quite at the point where we don't need engineers and everyone should run around with their hair on fire, but the world is changing, and we need to figure out how we can most efficiently use the technology changes. And I think for me, that starts right back at sort of base level university learning, so that when people come out, they have a grounding for all of these things, and they don't need to figure out, what Gen AI is, on the job. They should already know that and know how it can make them a more efficient, effectively better engineer.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about in that subject as well, Mark. I think that could be a separate episode in itself, because there'll be a huge disparity for today's engineer compared to 2 years' time, perhaps. But I think you touched upon education there. More importantly, it's the primary and secondary, education. There's still a huge, huge, huge gap in that market, and teachers are none the wiser. I'll be honest with you, Mark. Yes, there's some good stuff going on to educate the school system, but I think AI, although it's been about for a while, it's really kind of landed on their desk, and they're thinking how to even approach this subject and how to cope with this subject. And yet they're actually seeing the pupils with a different sense of learning techniques now, and they're trying to adapt to that. And actually, do you know, I know somebody who's a primary school teacher, Mark, and I think they're in P5, and there was a pupil with a book recently, and they actually tried swiping the page, the actual physical book. It's like, oh, this is scary.
Oh,
But yeah.
yeah, no, I haven't seen that one yet, but I mean, it's an apps. I think you're right there. Obviously, I have kids at primary and secondary school, and they don't really seem to it doesn't seem to register too much for them. Even there's like a couple of them pretty tech minded, so they haven't quite got the grips with it. but there, and those are the people we should be educating about this, these changes, because it's coming before they figure out how to do their essays on ChatGPT or whatever. There's other useful ways to do it, use it as well.
Absolutely, and it's coming thick and fast at that too, Mark. So, Mark, so kind of last couple of questions. What's the best advice that you could give to any aspiring technologist in today's market?
I'm not sure this has actually changed a lot. I mean, obviously, we've just talked about AI. People need to stay up to date with that. But at the base level, I would always, like, say if I'm mentoring someone who maybe doesn't directly work in the same organization as me, I'm going to say, after you come out of university, you should move relatively frequently, like every 2 to 3 years, something like that, when you're earlier in your career, because you'll get a much more diverse experience set and become a better professional because of it. Because you did mention earlier, Stephen, about comfort zone, which is effectively the poison for growth, I would say, that people get too comfortable and they like the people they're working with, and it becomes a weight around their neck effectively. Like, the longer you stay, the harder it is to move. So I say, yeah, move early and often. I would also stick to my closer to my hiring guidelines as well, is that don't get pigeonholed into the same technology set. Become a better hone your engineering skills rather than the technologies you use, or rather than the languages you use. Those are the things that are most valuable. So it's hone your skills, get good experience, vary that experience, and at least early in your career, move around a little bit, because you'll find you'll learn much faster.
Yeah, you'll grow as a result, and there's lots of good stuff happening in the market as well. Mark, perfect. So, as we finish off, I'm keen to learn what book or audio has had a profound impact on your career and why.
So I was thinking about this one this morning when I was walking the dogs, and I actually gonna check. Okay, I was gonna say, I've just recently read, since you and I last chat, I've read the Extreme Ownership book by Jocko, by SAS guys, effectively. It was pretty good. It had a lot of good stuff around leadership, leaving your ego at the door, and leadership up and down the chain, and taking ownership of everything effectively. There's lots of good stuff in that, and sort of patterns for how you might improve yourself. But I kept coming back to, and I mentioned earlier on, the Daniel Pink book, Drive. I think that level, that's the one that keeps coming back to me around how people work and engage with things. So that autonomy, mastery, purpose idea. I think that's probably the one that has been the most impactful, although there's a number of other ones out there. I think when we met first, I did mention the Subtle Art of Not Giving a F, R
Yeah.
star K, which is a good book. I would recommend that. It's fun, as long as you don't mind some swearing.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And do you know what? Even I'm actually going to look into that extreme. The ownership one, Leave Your Ego at the Door, and that's quite similar to Red and All Blacks book actually recently. And it was the same thing with Zero Ego. So I'll be able to put that out there with the Daniel book, Daniel Pink book, sorry, Drive. So listen, Mark, this has been a really enjoyable and good conversation. If people want to find a bit more about yourself, how could they go about doing this?
Just for people that don't know me, just hit me up on LinkedIn. On there regularly, probably too regularly. And just as a kind of open offer for anyone who was like, obviously I've been around the block a while in the engineering circles and I've got a lot of experience. So if there's anyone who wanted someone to talk to or someone to talk through a situation with, just contact me on LinkedIn and ask. I'll be more than happy to help. I'm sure I'll not get
Brilliant.
5,000 requests. So if I feel safe enough saying that, if I get two or three, I'd be happy to help people.
You never know, Mark. It could be an instant hit. This
Yeah.
episode, and actual fact on that subject, and that's what I love about the Northern Irish tech community too. I was speaking with somebody today who's a senior product owner, and has no job, and he actually listened to one of our episodes and reached out to the guests, and they're meeting for a coffee next week, and I think people want to help people, which is what makes NI so special, Mark.
Yeah, well, I would 100% agree with that. Obviously, I'm looking for a new role at the minute too, and the support I've got from everyone I know, as well as the likes of yourself and the people in your organization, Stephen, has been exceptional. So, I can't really fault the NI community for any of that. They've been tremendous.
It's special, Mark. So I'm looking forward to seeing your next chapter
Yeah.
and following closely on LinkedIn. So, Mark, listen, thank you so much once again.
Okay, thanks, Stephen.